Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, the gang is all here. My wife, my daughter, downstairs. It's a family affair here for episode 199.
Yeah, dude, we're one away from a big one.
How?
The big one.
The big one, dude?
Yeah.
How long have we been doing this?
Since 08. I think we started July of 08, so almost 4 years.
That's amazing, actually. So I think we were doing this pre... This was pre-Dan Boyle.
I think maybe the very first episode or one of the very first episodes is when we got Dan Boyle.
My gosh, I think pretty it was sure. Even earlier than that, dude.
No, because
I remember talking about on the podcast that we wanted Brian Campbell. I think that season, we did a season.
Really? I got to go back and listen now.
Gosh. Well, anyways, it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been so long, you can't even remember.
I shouldn't be the authority on anything right now. I mean, really,
yeah.
My brain is comfortably numb, right?
Yeah.
It gets better as the day goes, but it's a slow start to the day. Yeah, it can be a little rough, but...
I can imagine.
It's all quiet downstairs right now.
It's good.
It was time for some dinner.
I guess
and we've
so.
Ordered a pizza. We're on the clock, dude. We got to get going because we got to pick up the pizza soon.
We got to get going. So I don't want to talk about the Kings because that's just making me depressed. I don't want to talk about the Sharks.
I want to talk about the Devils and the Kings because that means we're talking about Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Dude, do we have to go over this again?
Viva Las Vegas.
is the Kings winning? And you winning the bet, the worst team to win the bet with?
No.
It's not?
No. I had the Ducks also. I'd feel worse if it was the Ducks.
Yeah.
I would.
I guess.
I would feel worse if I had won with the Ducks. Winning with the Kings is second worst.
Right.
Yeah. But it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. It's bad.
Well, I had Phoenix, and so I would have felt pretty bad if Phoenix won.
Yeah, but you're sort of like...
Yeah.
Kind of, and then Phoenix soon is just going to kind of be like the Arizona Sharks with Jameson taking them over anyway.
Yeah.
So
I emailed a
buddy
of mine.
Maybe we'll just be Coyotes fans.
I emailed a buddy of mine down south who is a Ducks fan, although I don't hold it against him. He's one of the guys who introduced me to hockey way back in the day. And I emailed him and I said, is this not like the most depressing thing that the Kings are in the finals? Because he's a Ducks fan, so he hates the Kings too. And he says, yeah, the number of fans, quote unquote fans, coming out of the woodwork down there to jump on the bandwagon, he says, is disgraceful.
I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well,
hey, it's Bill Simmons. Oh, I love hockey now. Hey, look, it's the whole gang from Game of Thrones. We all love hockey.
Game one goes to the Kings in overtime. Kopitar scores the game winner.
Yeah.
2-1, Kings, close and boring. I guess we could expect nothing less.
It wasn't that boring.
Well, I guess.
It was pretty good. It was a pretty good game.
It's what you would expect from these two teams. They played hard,
mm-hmm.
good goaltending.
Right.
And that's how they got there. And I don't think this is going to be, a lot of people think this is going to be a runaway for the Kings. I think this could go 6-7. I'm not counting on the Devils at all. I think that they have a shot to win the next game, and hopefully they can make a series out of this, right? You know, I mean, the Kings are just dominant on the road right now, just completely, totally dominant. I think they've set a record, right, for the NHL playoffs for road playoff wins.
Have they
lost on the road, dude?
One, I think. I think they're 9-1
Wow.
On the road. So it's pretty insane how good they are on the road. Yeah, if they lose game two, if the Devils lose game two, the series is basically over. It's going to go 5 or 6. Six at the outside. So
yeah, I'm calling Devils tomorrow night. I think that they will win that game. And then, you know, this could easily go 7. I hope it does, just for pure hockey entertainment standard, dude.
Yeah.
So watching these two teams, you know, we've beaten the Todd McClellan thing to death.
Yeah.
We've now seen, you know, one of the top free agent coaching choices go off the board. Bob Hartley agrees to coach the Calgary Flames.
He was really a top choice.
Well, you know what, dude? This is the thing that...
I mean, wasn't he coaching in Tokyo 2 years ago or something? I mean, he was coaching in the Swiss League.
Yeah, I know. I know, but the guy was working. I mean, yeah. You know, he's working. I mean, there's other guys who are just sitting around, you
Wade
know.
Wade Flaherty is also working.
Well, I think in between gigs, you know, Ken Hitchcock was, you know, frequenting a White Castle or something like that. You know, I don't think.
Wait, you're saying he only frequents White Castle when he's not working?
He was a consultant with the Blue Jackets. I mean, what's worse, right? Yeah. I mean, the guy won a title in the Swiss League. So Hartley, I started to read his resume, and I was going, you know what? Why has this guy been out of work? I mean, he coached, he won a cup with the Avs, right?
Mm-hmm.
He all 4 years, I think he coached the Avs. They made the conference finals every single year.
Yeah, but you inherit Joe Sakic and Madelon Hayduk and that Peter Forsberg.
You could still screw that up.
Oh, yeah. I guess the Sharks have done that.
You could screw that up.
Yeah.
Adrian Dater wrote about how it was really unfair that he got canned when he did in the middle of his fifth season. He was the coach of the Atlanta Thrashers when they made their playoff appearance.
And got swept.
And got swept.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It's true.
Come on.
It's not nothing.
It's just, you know.
And he won the AHL title, I think, once with the Hershey Bears.
Right.
And he won the title in the Swiss League.
And that's where his connection with Jay Feaster comes in, is with the Hershey Bears.
Right.
So the fact that people seem sort of surprised by this, and now that I was kind of reading the backstory on it, no one should have been surprised by this. They should have seen this move coming a mile away. The ties between Feaster and Hartley, the blood runs thick.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this could be a really good match, and could, if they can turn over the roster effectively in Calgary, this might be a good thing for them.
Yeah, it very well could be. I've always liked Jay Feaster. I think he's done a good job. I thought he got a really raw deal and getting run out of Tampa. It could work. It's unfortunate for us because obviously, you know, it's a Western Conference team. You don't want to see the Western Conference get that much better, but this is probably a good day to be a Calgary fan. That's
sure.
For sure.
They have some serious roster issues, though.
Oh, big time.
Especially up the middle. And that's a decision they're going to have to make going forward. Are they really going to roll out the same business, the same team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going to try and part ways with someone like Jay Bouwmeester, who clearly is, well, I mean, Ginla is I don't know, this might be unfair, but you know, is the Cal Ripken of Calgary, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the face of that franchise, has been for years.
How is that unfair? Cal Ripken was a great player.
I know, I'm saying, but Cal Ripken was an Oriole for 20 years or something. We're not quite in that category yet, but you know, Ginla is Calgary hockey. Like that might, to find a way to win without parting ways with him would be the best decision.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jay Bouwmeester, if you can find someone to take that behemoth of a contract for someone who's been kind of a colossal bust in terms of not being worth the money, I think that's going to be a pretty tough sell, don't you think? Who's going to take that deal? Well, he's not been worth it at all.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Tim Thomas in a bit, but maybe the same kinds of teams that would take Tim Thomas, which we'll talk about. But let's roll back to the Sharks, dude. I know we got a couple emails, so let's hit those.
Okay.
Questions at dudesonhockey.com, of course, is the email. Something from Carson. Any chance in doing a rundown on the prospects, or perhaps lack thereof, with the Worcester Sharks during the summer months? Any updates on how Stalock, Petrecki, and Doherty are developing? We will be doing some more stuff with that. I know Hockey Future just recently, in the last day or two, did something on the Sharks. Also, I know I forgot to mention it last week, about Fear the Finn, but I know Fear the Finn just posted something on a lot of prospects. John Allred has done some yeoman's work. That's a weird phrase. But he's done yeoman's work in talking about prospects. And one thing we didn't really talk about, I do want to mention, is it looks like Jason Plank and Matt Taylor have left Fear the Finn. So now they have new management, whatever that means. So anyway, we wish the best of luck to those guys. I know they probably were working night and day on that thing. They weren't lazing around and writing one post a week like we were. So maybe they have like real job, you know, like jobs that actually, you know, probably pay more than a blog does, because Lord knows I know how much a blog pays.
And we certainly wish them the best. Great work over there by those guys. And I'm sure the folks who are taking it over will continue the Fear the Finn madness, dude. In terms of prospects, Hockey's Future has a really good list, like you mentioned, that came out. And you know, some of the names that stick out at the top are guys that we've talked about, and there are some names they also have at the top that are guys that are college free agent signings that, you know, it becomes abundantly clear when you look at the signings from Doug Wilson in his draft history that in the top 10, I think that Hockey's Future listed three college free agent signings, that's why Doug Wilson maybe doesn't really give a rat's ass about giving up some of these draft picks is because he feels like he can get quality on the free agent market. And it, apparently he has. You know, Freddie Hamilton is at the top of the Sharks prospect list. We've, you know, kind of likened him to a poor man's Logan Couture. He has extremely impressive junior numbers, a very strong center, played on the junior, a national junior Canada level with his brother, Dougie Hamilton, who's a Boston Bruins prospect, probably even a better prospect than his brother, Freddie. But next season, I think we're expecting to see Hamilton in Worcester. Can he make that same jump? I don't know if he has the size necessarily to make a huge impact right away, but I don't expect to see him in San Jose next season at all. Do you?
I think we talked about this last week, but I don't know if I really see anybody on this list. I'm looking at the Cap Geek list of people who are, you know, under contract or RFAs, and there's a lot. There's an email about another RFA we'll talk about in a second, but I don't know if I really see any of these guys really with much of a chance of cracking the lineup in a serious way. We could see, you know, the cup of coffee guys, you know, Brandon Mashinter and so forth, come in, but I don't know if anybody's really ready to make the jump. Certainly the goalies are something that we talked about before. The fate of Thomas Greiss, I guess he's got another year. And certainly there is a bit of a pileup at goalie, so we'll see if that shakes out to anyone's surprise or if it's just going to be status quo. But yeah, I think we'll definitely, Carson, we'll definitely be attacking more in-depth stuff with the Sharks. And in the meantime, why don't you check out those sources we just mentioned, and that'll tide you over until we tackle it. From Kyle, we have something about another prospect. Well, not really a prospect anymore, just a gimp. James Shepherd. Whatever happened to James Shepherd? Last I heard, he was supposed to be healthy sometime during the season, but I didn't hear anything after that. James Shepherd is technically a restricted free agent for the Sharks. He played 4 games in Worcester the past season, no points, 2 penalty minutes. So certainly James Shepherd is not anywhere near finalized in terms of what's going to happen to the guy. I find it difficult to believe the Sharks would just let him go at this point after basically carrying him in a cart for a year after trading a 3rd-round pick for him. Right. So I think the Sharks are waiting for the chance to really make a decision if this guy has a chance of making an NHL career out of it. Or, you know, this year is probably the year where it's like, all right, you know, basically what happened to James Shepherd is he broke his kneecap, I think, in late 2010. And then early 2011, he tried to come back for the Wild and hurt himself again. And then he was put on long-term IR, and that's when the Sharks picked him up. So I don't know exactly how healthy he is. I don't know exactly why he only played 4 games. But I think of all the guys that we see on this non-roster list here on CapGeek, James Shepherd probably has the best chance to make the opening day San Jose Sharks roster.
Click on his name real quick, and let's look at those stats, dude.
All right.
James Shepherd was a regular player for the Minnesota Wild, I believe, for at least 2 seasons.
Right.
You know, you see in 2007-2008, he played 78 games. 2008-2009, he played 82. In 2009-2010, he played 64. So this was a guy who, you know, was playing regular game, you know, every game in 2008-2009, which was his best season as a pro, and he had 24 points. Not anything too exciting. The thing with James Shepherd that I still don't totally understand is, you know, dude, he was a pretty high pick, right? I mean, I think a first-round pick.
I think so.
Maybe even a top 20 pick. We're looking at the info right here.
I don't think it's here anywhere.
But I believe he was a first-round draft pick in 1988, so that means he's, you know, 24 years old. From what I have read about this guy, we haven't even seen him. He sort of sounds like a Biggest Loser version of Kyle Wilwood. You know?
Yeah.
Playmaker, slick passer, not a gritty third line player. I think if people are expecting him to be like a Winnick or something. This is not that guy. And his numbers, unfortunately, don't really bear out the upside of the player that you hope he'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I remember hearing about him, he really struggled with Jacques Lemaire and that style of play, mm-hmm. and did not thrive. And maybe the Sharks obviously saw something they like in him and feel that in Tom McClellan's style of play, which we're assuming is what we're going to see again next year, that this guy could have the potential to be more of a contributor, you right. know, as a playmaker.
I think they just want to give him a shot at it, basically. They didn't give up a ton to get him a third-round pick. I mean, given the fact that he's been injured for 2 years, it seems like a lot. So I don't think they're just going to cut bait with this guy right now. Certainly, he's a league minimum type of situation.
Dude,
so
I'm going to say there's a 100% chance the Sharks sign him.
Really?
100%.
Okay.
If Doug Wilson doesn't sign James Shepherd, then he's a fool.
Right.
Because then he basically gave up a third rounder for a sneak peek at nothing.
Right.
You could have done that and let the Wild play him for 4 games and then you know, trade for him. You could have got him now for mm-hmm. less than a third.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Without a doubt.
I mean, so obviously he felt you trade a third for James Shepherd. You bought high mm-hmm. on an injured player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you bought high. So obviously he likes him.
Right.
So there's just no way he's not going to be a Shark. And I've got to imagine there's no way he's not in Teal on opening night. Like, I think they traded for him to be a regular player in 2012-13.
Mm-hmm. Unless he climbs on the ATV again.
He's going to be a regular player. And I think we're going to see who he is, you know, what the deal is. You know, his presence, I think, spells the end of Torrey Mitchell's tenure in Teal. A lot of people have given him the electric chair in terms of his roster status. Young girls all over the Bay Area are sobbing in their hair gel. But I don't see why Torrey Mitchell deserves a shot to stick around. He's been as hot and cold as they come, you know?
Yeah.
And we've seen who he is, which is nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably going to let him walk, and I imagine James Shepherd's going to take his spot.
Probably.
And then we'll see what happens.
Yep.
That's just my guess, dude.
It's a good guess, dude. Let's see. I guess we have some NHL news that we should probably hit. First of all, maybe the interesting thing, which has a touch of controversy, is the Nicklas Lidström retirement.
Right.
And, of course, everybody's coming out of the woodwork to say that, you know, Nicklas Lidström was the, you know, awesome player and all this stuff and giving him all these kudos. The slight controversy is the fact that he chose to announce it during the Stanley Cup Finals, which is a bit of odd timing. Maybe it was going to leak otherwise. I can't think of another reason why he would announce it then. I remember A-Rod, you know, to use another sport, announced that he wasn't coming back to whoever it was at the time, and he was excoriated for it because it was during the World Series. How is this any different?
So people are upset because he's taking attention away from a Stanley Cup Finals that most people don't care about?
Yes. Not to put too fine a point on it.
I don't know, dude. You know what? Honestly, until you just mentioned it, I hadn't even thought about that.
I really don't care that much.
Who cares? You know? I mean, because he's taking his talents to South Sweden or wherever he's going, you know?
Is there any doubt that Nicklas Lidström is the second best defenseman of all time?
So we're saying the best is
Bobby Orr.
And the second best is probably, Bill Holder.
Doug Bodger.
Yeah, I think you're pretty hard-pressed to make a case otherwise.
Yeah, that's going to be Lidström
tough. Is a lock first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy was a dominant player and has been for 20 years. And I certainly will help him pack and get the hell out, you know, because he makes the Red Wings a weaker team. And, you know, now you've got the full court press in Nashville, which all eyes are on Nashville now to see if they can lock up Ryan Suter before July 1st, because you have to figure when July 1st rolls around that
the Wings are going to roll out the red carpet for this guy.
The Wings are going to make the biggest effort possible to bring him in. And you got to hope that it doesn't happen, because if they're unable to replace Lidstrom appropriately with someone of all-star caliber. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about signing Adrian Acoin.
Yeah,
you know, like it's got to be Ryan Suter in that.
It's got to be a number one or number two guy. They got to go get a really good player, or else they're in big
trouble.
Hole.
Yeah,
they're in a little bit of trouble.
I don't know. I hope they strike out, dude. Stay in Nashville. Enjoy the honky tonk.
It was also interesting that he said that he thought Zetterberg, Filppula, or Cronwall should be the next captain.
Not Datsyuk.
And didn't mention Datsyuk. So I thought that was a little interesting. Maybe just being loyal to his fellow countrymen. I just chalked it up to that.
Yeah, who knows what... I mean, Datsyuk, you don't exactly hear him as like a classic soundbite as well.
He
seems
really
like
talk.
A pretty quiet guy. He's like an effective Patrick Marleau. You know? I mean, maybe he's not a vocal leader.
Right.
So I always think comments like that are interesting because you get a little glimpse inside mm-hmm. the dressing room mm-hmm. and I'm sure he's not saying Datsyuk's a bad player. I mean, a lot of people make the case that if you were starting an NHL franchise right now, you might pick Datsyuk first, you know, but for him not to be on the tip of the tongue in terms of a captain, and you go to a Valtteri Filppula.
Who's Finnish, not Swedish.
Then maybe he made a mistake.
Yeah, maybe. he got Finland and Sweden mixed up. That'd be pretty funny. But Valtteri Filppula, really? Anyway, let's go on to the next controversial topic of the week. There's been enough of them, is the whole Tim Thomas thing, which is that he's thinking about sitting out the next season. His family relocated to Colorado. I'm not really... Why would his family relocate to Colorado? I'm not really sure why that is, but I thought there were red states in the Northeast. Isn't like Vermont or something?
You can do a lot of hunting there.
Yeah. I mean, you can go a lot closer and get to a red state. He's talking about sitting out the entire year, which seems, one, odd, and B, like a total dick move because he still counts against a cap. He has an over 35 cap contract.
If he does this, dude,
yeah,
he's a dick. Okay?
Totally.
He is. Like, he's a lousy teammate if he does this. And he's already demonstrated earlier this year that he's a lousy teammate, that he's extremely selfish
right.
by not attending the White House. And, you know, we got some flack for this. And there's people on both sides, and I understand.
Right.
But I think that you have to suck it up and go with your teammates. This is not tennis where it's just you.
Right.
You know, you are, by the way, I saw this on Deadspin that there was like this like great back and forth set. Like it lasted like that, like point lasts like 50 seconds.
Yeah.
And after the guy won the point, he puked all over the court.
Why'd you bring that up?
I don't know. I just thought it was funny because I was talking about a solo sport, you know, that's fine. You
right.
know, if that guy didn't want to go to the White House, he was embarrassed of his own puke. That's
right.
cool.
Yeah.
But Tim Thomas, you know, to do this, dude, and to not, it's not like he's a $1 million cap hit. It's a $5 million cap hit.
Yeah.
He is screwing the Bruins heartily.
Yes.
If he does this.
And as much as Peter Chiarelli would like to say that, the long-term exception of Mark Savard will make up for it. Yeah, it'll make up for it. But the thing is, theoretically, you're still going to need to fill it with another goaltender. Good thing they have Tuukka Rask on the shelf. But, I mean, tell me they wouldn't rather have Thomas playing. Why wouldn't you just retire? I mean, there's that it's a dick move. And there's two, that is there really a chance that he would come back? I mean, he'll be 39 after a year.
Yeah,
why not just retire?
He might want to come back.
And then what?
But who's going to give him any money?
Right.
I wouldn't. He's a plus 35 contract. That's why it counts against the cap. You can't waive him. They're screwed, dude. And I think even if he retires because he's plus 35, he counts against the cap. I think even if he retires.
See, I'm not sure about that. That's a Matt D'Agostini.
That's what
right
I read.
There.
Yeah, that's a Matt D'Agostini, but... there's no talk of retirement. It's just he doesn't feel like playing for the Bruins anymore. That's basically what this is boiling down to here. He doesn't feel like playing for the Bruins. It'll be interesting to see, dude, is this legit? Like he really wants to sit out, or does he want to trade? And this is his way of saying, trade me. I'm not playing. If you leave me here, I'm not playing.
This would be a really weird way of going about it, though.
Well, he's a weird dude, obviously.
True. And I know that the Bruins can trade him, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they did. If I were the Bruins, I would trade him. If he was going to sit, I'd be like, all right, later.
Hello, Islanders, Garth Snow.
Yeah, you trade him to a team that needs to reach the cap floor.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that team doesn't even have to pay him, because you can suspend him. That means you don't actually have to pay him the actual money. Of course, you do take the cap hit. So you trade him to one of those teams that are at the bottom. If we go back to the Cap Geek page here, I'll look at the teams that are near the bottom. We're talking about Colorado, Nashville, Phoenix, St. Louis, Winnipeg, Ottawa, the Islanders, Florida. You just trade him to one of those teams. You know, most of those teams probably, well, except for maybe the Islanders, probably wouldn't really use them. And you just park them and you say, okay, you're not getting paid. We'll take the cap hit. And then those teams, like the Sharks did when in the Vladimir Malakhov trade, for those that remember, get a little something in return. I mean, the Bruins would probably have to give up something along with Thomas in order for a team to take that cap hit off the books. So Thomas sort of put the Bruins in a not a great spot, not the worst possible spot, because it's not like he's like the obvious. It's not like Henrik Lundqvist saying he wants to take a year off. It's not like that bad. But
dude, looking at those teams down there, none of those teams, those bottom six teams you just listed, they don't need goalies.
No, they don't.
Colorado doesn't need a goalie. Nashville, absolutely not. Phoenix, absolutely not. St. Louis, absolutely not. Winnipeg, they're not going to be interested in that.
No. Nope.
You know, they've got Pavlicic, right?
Yep.
Ottawa, they just traded for Ben Bishop. They have Robin Lehner.
Yeah.
They're not interested in that. And the Islanders, I mean, maybe,
but
that's totally ridiculous. And Florida, maybe.
No way. I mean, they have the best goalie prospect in the game.
Yeah, but if they're feeling like maybe he's not ready to play full time next year, would you rather have Tim Thomas over Clemenson and Theodore?
He's not going to play. He's not going to play, though. Thomas is saying he's not going to play.
He's saying he doesn't want to play in Boston.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's weird and stubborn enough to not play.
He's sitting at home having a tea party.
Yeah. All right, dude.
For his tea party.
Yeah. Good one.
Tick tock, dude. We got to get some pizza.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. I know. Are you expecting anything? So what's the prediction for the next week in terms of the Stanley Cup Finals? Keep watching the games. I'm going to try.
Yeah. I think it's going to go 2-2, you know, going into game five. I really do.
I still think the Kings are going to win game two.
Jersey has surprised at every turn.
You're right. I've been wrong about Jersey in every round.
And when
you
think Jersey's done, they turn it up. Oh, I know, dude.
What?
I want to talk about Marian Gaborik. How about that news today?
Oh, he's really, really hurt.
Really hurt.
Yeah.
You know,
like
and
he
a lot
tore
of
a rotator cuff.
A lot of crap coming out about Marian Gaborik. Now you kind of look back and go, oh, when Tortorella was sitting him.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily a punishment.
No.
And that's why Torts was probably being so vague about it during those press conferences. What about Gaborik? Why are you sitting Gaborik? He's not going to come out. Oh, he has a torn rotator cuff.
I tore my rotator cuff in high school playing tennis, of all things. And, well, it's not that surprising, I guess. And I couldn't lift my arm above about mid-torso level. Like, I couldn't lift it. I certainly couldn't lift it above my shoulder.
Right.
And even lifting it to where I could lift it was very extremely painful. So the fact that Gaborik even played is kind of amazing. When I heard that, I said he played with a torn rotator. I mean, that is insane. I mean, the amount of drugs and painkillers and cortisone injections and all that must have been just, you know, enough to choke a horse to even get him on the ice. And to say he wouldn't be very effective is a little bit of an understatement. So the fact that Marian Gaborik even played is kind of amazing, and it's certainly not surprising that he wasn't much of a producer in the playoffs because of it.
Right. So maybe people need to back off the Gabbert.
Yeah, back off the Gabbert.
You know, because the fact that he played, dude, you're right, is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All right, next week's episode number 200. We'll try and have something special in store, and if we don't, it'll be just us.
What a teaser, dude.
Yeah!
See you next week.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.